I'm chatting with holistic gardener and author Fionn O'Nuaillean. He's going to talk to us about what our gardens and nature give us at this time of year to nourish our health and well-being. Welcome back to Supercharged, Fionn. It's always great to have you. You're a wealth of information and knowledge, and I always learn so much from you, so I'm looking forward to this chat. Let's start with what's currently left in our gardens and what we can do with it.
Yeah, so we're in that kind of tricky phase of the year now where, you know, we're in the dark half of the year, and it means the day length is less and the kind of the temperatures have lessened as well. So most plants are either gone into hibernation or they're getting ready to go into hibernation. And as they do that, lots of the phytochemicals that we would harvest from the garden for health are starting to retreat out of the plant into the roots. So that's brilliant if you want to dig up your dandelion or your burdock and make, you know, your coffee to kickstart the gallbladder or whatever. That's brilliant because they're intensified. But if you're leaning into looking to get your kind of lemon balm to have a lemon balm cup of tea to ease your anxiety over the Christmas time, well, the phytochemicals in there, they're not strong enough as if they were in June, July, August. So really what we're looking at is, well, what's still kind of left? And I find a couple of things are still there. Just this morning, I was just in my own garden and my mint looks brilliant.
And we haven't had a whole pile of frost. Really,
and we haven't had the frost, so stuff hasn't been triggered. And, and this is the kind of, dare I say it, like with the climate change stuff, our seasons are shifting and some of that is bad and some of that's not so bad. So the fact that the mint is still there, now I'll harvest that when I go home and I'll freeze it.
What's that good for?
So mint, well, mint is really, really interesting in terms of, in summertime, if we drink it, it cools down the body. It's really good for gastrointestinal complications. If we make a tea and cool it and spray it on, it's good for kind of prickly heat and that sort of stuff. But it's a multi-seasonal herb. So at this time of the year, what mint also does is it's a bronchial aerator. So it opens up all the alveoli in the lungs. It decongests the nasal passage, the throat and the sinuses. So just now when you're on the commute into work and somebody five seats behind you does the sneeze, that's the perfect thing to go home and take the mint.
Out into your garden and look for the mint.
Get and freeze it. Bring it in now and freeze it. I mean, you can dry it, but you can also freeze it. And then you have it right away through the winter time. Anytime there's a sniffle on the rise.
I think when you were saying there about mint in the summer, people were thinking, oh yeah, that's why we have the mojitos. That doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
That's not what we're talking about.
You know, the alcohol cancels it out, you know. But
rosemary and sage as well.
And rosemary and sage, yeah. Now, sage is going to go over very, very quickly. Rosemary will last right the way through all year round, pretty much. But its phytochemicals at this time of the year can actually be strengthened by a touch of cold. So the rosemary acid that's contained within it can actually strengthen up. It's one of the few that gets better rather than worse.
And you know, what about things like cabbages and leeks that people...
So yeah, so if you're a productive gardener, as in if you have an allotment or you're growing your veg at your back. Well, really there, what happens is, and this is about kind of tying into seasonal eating. What you eat in a particular season generally is the medicine to the ailments that you're going to encounter in that season. So at this time of the year, your tomatoes are gone, your strawberries are gone, there's no vitamin C knocking around. But what you'll have is you'll have leeks, you'll have garlic, onions, cabbages, brassicas, kales. They all contain a lot of sulforaphane. So when we ingest them into the body, the sulforaphanes, the organic sulfur, the sulfur kicks our immune system into high gear. So they're really very good at being antifungal and antibacterial, which is exactly what we're dealing with between now and February, do you know?
You were talking and you mentioned about dandelions, but pine needle tea as well is something that this time of year can be popular.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Now, pine needle tea would have been used traditionally by sailors going on long journeys to avoid scurvy. It's packed full of vitamin C. So I've just said vitamin C has gotten out of the garden, but it's still there in the hedgerow. So if you can go out and gather your pine needles, make a tea packed full of vitamin C, that's your immune system boost as well. That supplements your vitamin C that's missing from the diet at this time of the year. But pine needles are really, really interesting because the terpenes, they release volatile oils into the atmosphere. And those terpenes are very close to cannabinoids. Now, if you remember, cannabinoids became very, very popular as a cure for everything from kind of epilepsy to ingrown toenail. That's not what they do. What they do, what cannabinoids does in the system is it dials down inflammation and it's analgesic. It takes away pain. So It's not just in the cannabis plant. It's in stuff like skullcap, which traditionally Irish people would have been used. The early monks, when they were trying to put the herbals together in the 8th century, are mentioning kind of skullcap for this stuff. It has cannabinoids contained within it that goes into the cannabinoid receptors in the body to dial down inflammation and to kill pain. But the cannabinoids are really interesting because the terpenes that are in the pine, they can be absorbed into the skin and inhaled into the nose. So if you go for a walk at this time of the year, you're getting into the cold air, and 15 minutes of cold air will switch on your immune system as opposed to being overly muffled up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also out there, your forest bathing is having a particular purpose because you're choosing to go to a pine forest with all of this volatile oils in the air.
Brilliant. So, because Joe, for some people I'm listening saying they love the idea of being able to make these teas and make them, but they mightn't, you know how or have the confidence, but actually getting out in nature and absorbing it is another way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going kayaking at this time of the year, okay, you don't want to spill over into the water and be completely frogalized, but it's the fact that you're around negative ions, which are really good to drag all of the stresses and static electricity out of the body. So getting out at this time of the year, don't pack it in because it looks like it's too wet or it's too cold. Do it even more so, because that's the immune system boost. If you're sitting at home with the central heating on and the woolly hat on your head, the cold and flu that you have there is gone. There's an old Irish saying, which is green Christmases fill graveyards. And it's that thing that you need the cold to kill the pathogens off, the pathogens that are in the air, the pathogens that are in your body, the pathogens that are in the soil. So the coldness is what does the positive benefit.
So that's why my mother was opening up all the windows in the middle of December and we were giving out to her, but she was trying to get the fresh air
get the cold air in. And let the COVID out the window. You know, so if you're sitting on the bus.
I'm sorry, ma'am, we were giving you a hard time. It's freezing in here.
Yeah, but if you're on the bus and you see all the condensation on the window, that's everybody's sneeze and breath. You know, like, it's icky to think about it, but that's what it is. So if you open the window, you let that all dissipate.
Get it all out. Let's talk a bit about, like, even the hawthorn for heart health.
Yeah, so hawthorn's a brilliant plant because the foliage is edible and there's phytochemicals in the foliage that's good for the heart. But the berries, and they're still there at this time of the year, and they get sweeter after a frost. They have a lovely mealy kind of texture to them. They're really good. They help the heart pump more blood around the body, so they help us get our brains more oxygenated. So
do you need to cook them, or how can they consume
lots
them?
Of people eat them raw now. You'd need to kind of spit out the seeds on all sorts of fruit, including apples, because they all contain little cyanides in it. Now, you'd want to be all day eating, you know, to get enough poison into your system to do any form of damage. But you can also cook them, and they're really good with game and things like that. So are roan berries. You know, there's sloes out there. There's lots on the hedgerow that's there. The issue is where you are in the country. If the lapwings have come in from Scandinavia, good luck. They're going to get all the berries before you do. So if you spot it, now is the week. This is the time to go harvest stuff. Stick it in a freezer bag, put it in the freezer. You have access to it then for the next couple of months.
Sloes are very bitter.
Yeah.
I was reading about how actually things that are really bitter and that we eat is really good because our brain registers them as toxins.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
This is fascinating. So this is why people, this is where coffee came from. It's the bitter in coffee, which is normally in springtime, again, through different monastic centres, Islamic, you know, tradition and Christian tradition, the monks and the devotees took coffee or coffee substitutes, bitter tonics, in order to cleanse the system. So basically most plants that have a sweet flavour, well, we know they've evolved a sweet flavour because they want us to eat them and spread their seeds somewhere else. Plants that develop a bitter context, it's a poison in it. They don't want to be browsed by deer or by humans or whatever. So we humans know when we taste something that's really bitter, it's probably poisonous. And that triggers us to cause the gallbladder and the liver and the kidneys to go into overdrive and flush all the toxins out of the system. So your cup of coffee traditionally now, if it's a mocha loca chocolate with 15 marshmallows in it, forget about it. But, you know, a normal coffee or a dandelion root coffee or anything with a bitter flavour. So sucking a slow does the same thing. It gives you that bitter burst and it tricks your brain into thinking, I need to get...
It's like a natural detox.
It's a natural detox, but even better, it doesn't just stop at the toxins. It works on stored fats. So it's a great way of like kickstart, if you're going to go on a diet or ever, of kickstarting your diet, because already your fats are starting to break down. It's like the rosemary we were talking about earlier on. People traditionally cook rosemary with lamb. It's the rosemaric acid that's in the rosemary that goes into the lamb fats and makes them more less likely to be stored in the system, more digestible. So often when we patch things together, does it reason behind it? And very often it's a medicinal or a health thing behind it. It's not just a flavour comparison. Yeah.
So nature knew and knows what we need before we even know ourselves. Yeah. That's amazing. OK, let's talk about fighting off colds and viruses. Elderberries.
Elderberries are brilliant now. They're probably as good as gone from mm-hmm. most parts of the country now at this time of the year. Kind of your last kind of chance for getting a lot of stuff is in and around between September and Halloween. And then the pooka comes out and the pooka urinates on the berries. And that's just their way of culturally codifying, don't go near the blackberries now next week, because they're going to be gone off. There's nothing in them, you know. So it's a way of keeping kids away from gone off food. But the elderberries are really, really interesting. First of all, they have a lot of vitamin C in them. But more importantly, they have this thing where all viruses have this kind of Velcro grip where they adhere into the cellular wall. So where macrophages and our immune system can't swim around like sharks and gobble them up out of the bloodstream, the elderberries melt those Velcro grips. So they can't adhere to the wall. They're in the system, and our own immune system can come and gobble them up like a Pac-Man going around, can eat everything up. So elderberries are brilliant at this time of the year. If you haven't gone out previously and got your harvest and made your syrups, every chemist in Ireland, every health store in Ireland has elderberry products, from lozenges to syrups to whatever, right? So all brands, whatever, are available, you know, you can get access to it.
The rowan berries or the mountain ash, they can be used for sauce?
They were traditionally used with
because we'd have a lot of them around the place. You'd see them now, fighting with the birds.
You know, and it's interesting because lots of the stuff after the frost, they develop an alcohol content within them. So you'll see the birds.
You'll be getting
drunk.
People's attention now.
The birds are a bit, stop. The birds get tipsy. Literally, the birds get tipsy. And then they go even more on it because, again, they're leaning in for the, it's not just the chocolate, it's the liqueur. So, you know, give it 2 weeks and you'll literally be fighting with the birds to get
the berries
off the trees.
Never look at the birds the same way again.
But yeah, rowans are really good. They used to be used, again, they're an immediate thing. You do need to cook them. They contain lycopene in it, which is a really good thing for fighting different types of cancers and mutagens, you know. So it's, you know, there's a lot behind it. Mm-hmm. But traditionally in Ireland, the Fianna used to use it to cook with their, after they've hunted the deer or the boar or whatever.
Spices, you know, they're used a lot in winter and around Christmas for a reason. Let's talk a little bit about some of them. I was fascinated to learn even about cinnamon.
Oh, well, cinnamon is amazing because cinnamon lowers blood sugar. So if you have, again, at this time of the year, we're all leaning into the biscuits and the bit of extra panettone or whatever. You know, it's just there. It's in every Christmas ad.
We deserve it.
And we deserve it, yeah. And it's that thing of like, as your serotonin drops at this time of year, you've more melatonin in the body. And melatonin isn't just the sleep hormone, it's the hunger hormone. So naturally you're getting more hungry. But if you have a bit of cinnamon on your toast in the morning or on your porridge in the morning, it stabilizes, it's like a natural insulin, it stabilizes your blood sugars across the day.
Because I just thought when you put it, you know, like the cinnamon buns, that you're making it sweeter. But actually, it's almost like you're helping to reverse the impact of the sugar.
This is the thing. It's like when they came out a couple of years ago about if you have an avocado with your steak or your burger, it does the fats get mm-hmm. in the way and stop the other trans fats from sticking in the system. It's the sweetness of the cinnamon, but it's also the phytochemical agents within it that stop you grabbing sugars and holding on to them, especially this time of year. Every bit of sweetness you want to get, the body wants to go, oh, well, I might not eat again, because we haven't evolved enough to realise we're not still pushing mammoths off the cliff, you know, and that every time you turn around, there's a chocolate or a slice of cake or the mm-hmm. sugar, even in toothpaste. So we haven't copped on to that. Our bodies are still thinking,
maybe we don't want to either.
Yeah, we feel the cold and we think, oh my God, I'm starving. I need to get a donut in, you know. So
let's talk other spices then, even for circulation purposes.
Yeah, so even, well, like if you think of everything that's kind of matched together, so even things like pepper is really good, but pepper was matched with food before refrigeration. So it's antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal. If you ate the gone off meat or the slightly gone over fruit, it stopped your stomach from going there. But a hell of a lot of the spices that we would use. All spice, nutmeg even this time of year, all the stuff that you would throw into the eggnog, any of the stuff that would be go in with the mince pies, they're all cardiotonics. They're all stuff that keeps circulation, specifically peripheral circulation, on the go. And that's what gets affected at this time of the year, because your fingers and your toes are more prone to catching the colds quicker than the kind of the core of your body, you know.
Brilliant. Now, before we go, we are asking people on the show this evening, what's the best thing they've done for their health and well-being in 2025? So I'm going to put it to you now.
Now, I'm a weirdo. so
that means your answer is going to be really interesting. So give it to us.
Well, for me, I love kind of aphorisms and affirmations and kind of looking at kind of Zen philosophy.
Well, that means I'm a weirdo as well then, because yeah, I like
but,
that
but
too.
I think they're really good. They're like ancestral nuggets, you know, wisdom passed on generation to generation. So in terms of like the Zen stuff, there's a brilliant saying, where would the gardener be without weeds? And that's really saying like, don't grumble the stuff that you have to do. Like, you'll know as an athlete, you know, the early mornings, the training, the work, that's what makes you the champ. That's what gets you on the podium. That's what gets you to lift the cup. So it's the same like as a gardener. The weeding is what makes the garden good. So I use them all the time. Irish proverbs, you know, sunshine follows gloom, you know, the longest day has its ebb. These are all great psychological kind of recourses to go to and reset the psyche. But the start of the year, the one I put in place has a Christian context, and it's consider the lilies. So Jesus was given this kind of parable to his disciples that was, consider the lilies. They neither toil nor weep. Now, I think what it actually is they neither toil nor reap nor sow nor spin. And basically what he was saying is, will this all just stop jockeying for position? Will this all just calm down and relax? Stop fretting that I'm walking around healing people and we don't know where the next meal is coming from. God will provide, the universe will provide, faith will provide. Have a bit of confidence.
Trust the process.
That's be
kind
yourself.
Of what the modern day
be
version,
yourself.
Yeah.
So I put that into place. And what I found was fascinating was, even though I have all of these tools for kind of my psychological well-being, the last couple of years was a bit tricky for me with certain things, and like, you know, professional disappointments and after COVID, lots of the work
and I a lot
used
of people
didn't
can
come back.
To that,
everybody had that. But I found that the kind of the knot in the stomach was becoming the kind of pain in the stomach, and was becoming the acid reflux. And the minute I decided to stop striving, to stop looking for where the next piece of work was coming from, all of that disappeared. And I went, oh my God, I had completely forgotten that all of these things, the wisdom, is not just about mental health. There's more going on than mental health. And your mental health will affect your physical health, and your physical health will affect your mental health. And we, you know, I call myself the holistic gardener. I realise, actually, you need to be more holistic.
Well, I'm glad to ask the question now.
Sorry.
Well, I'm glad. No, because I think a lot of people will be able to resonate
and
with that.
It's not a panacea for everybody. Some people listening will go, oh, no, look, I need to keep striving. I need to plan the career. I need to do this, whatever. It works for me. Yeah. You know, it works for me to just let go of stuff and whatever will be. If you are the lily in the field, if the bee comes and fertilises you, brilliant. If it doesn't, so what?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Fionn. Fionn O'Nolan's books are in shops and online at mercierpress.ie. And have a happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas
to you. Thank you.